is Choreograph Your Life Day. Welcome back. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Season 3, the 2020 Zoom interview experience. On behalf of the entire team, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We hope you are staying safe and staying healthy and staying motivated. It is September, which means it is my birthday month, so I am especially ignited and ready to rock and roll. I hope you guys are all having an awesome, awesome week. This episode of Choreograph Your Life is brought to you by Audible, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment and audiobooks. As I have mentioned before, Audible has been a game changer for me. I'm always on the move, so it's so nice to be able to continue to consume content while I'm traveling or while I'm on the elliptical or whatever, which probably seems weird to some of you, but alas, it is such an incredible platform. I encourage you to check it out today. Great news for you. You can start your free trial of Audible while supporting your favorite podcast, Choreograph Your Life, by using our link, which is www.audibletrial.com/choreographyourlife. Again, that's www.audibletrial.com/choreographyourlife. Check it out. It is free. If it does not serve you, you can cancel at any time, but I think you guys are really going to love it, so go get it. Are you ready to add a little pump to your Wednesday afternoon slump? Well, according to the analytics that I just checked out, over 15 countries agree. 15, you guys, I am shook. We've got you covered. This week's guest, Eric Stout, began his career in multifamily housing in 2010 as a leasing and marketing specialist for Affordable Equity Partners. At the early stages of his career, he successfully helped develop and execute creative marketing strategies and lease up initiatives for both affordable and luxury apartment communities. After many years of honing his skill set as both a housing professional and an industry team leader, Eric spent several years as a compliance auditor before taking on his current role as a regional manager for Fairway Management. He currently oversees the day-to-day operations for Southern Missouri, New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma. He's a busy man. Before beginning his work in the multifamily housing industry, Eric attended the University of Missouri Columbia, MIZZOU, and graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Interdisciplinary Studies with an emphasis on peace studies. And while he has had a very successful career in multifamily housing, he is also a self-proclaimed excellent dancer and happens to be one of my very best friends. I'm so excited to introduce you guys to Eric Stout today. Much like Eric, this interview wears a lot of different hats. So settle in, get ready, because ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Eric Stout. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, I have here with me this morning on the second day of September, Eric Stout. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Kelly B.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty fantastic. How about you? It's your birthday month.
Yes! Woo! I'm great. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm just excited that I got you on this podcast today.
I know. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, of course. I know that it took a little bit of convincing, but here we are.
Anything to help you.
Here you are in the hot seat. I'm excited that you're here.
Be easy on me.
Hey, I'll do my best. All right, Eric. So let's just jump right in. Welcome to Choreograph Your Life. Tell us about the Eric Stout, the man, the myth, the legend.
I don't really know what you want to know about me.
Everything. All of it. People want to know why we spend so much time together, I'm sure, and why we're always getting into crazy shenanigans.
Noted. Okay. Well, I mean, I'll just start back from as early as I can remember. So birth. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh, you remember your birth?
But I was raised in Centralia, Missouri.
For those of us who are out here in the world that don't necessarily know where Centralia, Missouri is, can you give us a little bit of context?
Yeah, not that I measured or anything during high school when I was driving, but It's exactly 18 miles north of Columbia, Missouri.
Very specific. I love that.
I know. And Columbia is in the middle of the state. So it's pretty much like smack dab right in the middle of Missouri. After my K through 12 experience, or birth through 12 experience, if you will, in Centralia, Missouri, I moved to Columbia to pursue a bachelor's degree in interdisciplinary studies with an emphasis in peace studies or conflict resolution at the University of Missouri.
Woo! M-I-Z!
Z-O-U.
I'm not going to pretend like I went there, but I do know that chant.
You tailgate like you went there.
I do tailgate like I went there. You know I'm committed, Eric.
Absolutely.
to whatever is in front of me, I'm just committed at the time. Anyway, go on.
100% true. So after college, I decided to take a year off as I finished college in 3 years instead of four. So I just needed a year to really wrap my head around what I was going to do in life. And I decided to work at a bar and restaurant, or a wine and bistro called Hemingway's Limited. It was a fantastic spot in Columbia, Missouri. And I managed that bar for a year. Well, not the bar side. I actually managed the store side. So there was an adjoining store that sold fine wine, scotch, and cigars, the works. So I managed that side for a while, and I served on the other side. And it was a blast. While I was working there, that's where my story actually kind of takes another turn. I met a few of my regulars. I really liked them. And through the conversation, through a year of interacting with one another, they ended up liking me enough that they actually wanted to recruit me to work for them. And that happened to be in the multifamily space. So that's what I'm currently doing. And I've been here at the same company for going on 10 years.
Well, first of all, happy anniversary. That's incredible. And then secondly, ladies and gentlemen, I would like for you to take note of the fact that Eric had no interest in going into multifamily housing. And this happened because networking.
100%. I didn't know that the space existed, to be honest with you.
Right? It's just kind of like one of those things that if you didn't know any better, you just sort of take for granted. Like, there are people in the world with that job.
Yeah, there are people in the world that like literally care enough about you and enough about individuals, especially in the affordable housing industry, that they try and market to you so that you know what's out there
and where you want to hang your hat at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And do you want to do it for a slumlord, or do you want to do it for someone that actually cares about their mission?
Yes, absolutely. And I know firsthand that where you work does care about their residents and cares about the quality of housing that is provided for their residents. So yes.
For those of you who do not know, but Kelly and I actually worked together for the first 8 years and knew her for about a year and a half prior.
Yes. So Eric and I go way back into time. And we have obviously worked together, and through working together have developed a very, very special relationship. I consider him to be one of my absolute best friends on this planet Earth. I'm not entirely sure why, but I do. I'm just kidding. I think by the end of this little conversation that you're going to hear between the two of us, I think you'll have it all figured out. We are both very much of the work hard, play hard mentality, mostly work hard, a little bit of play hard, but we've had a lot of fun over the years doing both things, and we've gotten to work together and collaborate together on a lot of different projects, and that has been great fun throughout all of time. So what do you love, before we get into all of that, what do you love most about what you do?
It is a loaded question. What I love most about what I do, I love helping our external customer, which would be our residents or potential residents. And honestly, I love mentoring and coaching and leading my team. I have a really phenomenal team, and they make my job exponentially more enjoyable.
That's awesome. So like Eric mentioned earlier, he started 10 years ago, mm-hmm. coming in to this new career path that you didn't even know existed. You started on the leasing team.
Yeah.
So you were a leasing and marketing specialist. Tell us a little bit about what you did in that role.
Yeah. So I was in charge of these multi-million dollar projects.
Right. It's like, oh, by the way, here's a project that's worth billions of dollars. So like, get it done. You're like, okay.
Really not knowing what I was doing at the time. As again, I didn't major in any of this. It was just kind of an opportunity that presented itself that I couldn't say no to. So I did my best. And thankfully, my major did help me tremendously through this, as my major does cover a lot of sociological background. Really, marketing is just studying groups of people and how they're going to respond to certain situations or certain ad campaigns. And so actually my major really interestingly fits with the marketing side of life. So marketing to lease up and essentially deliver on time tax credits to investor portfolios.
Just that little old thing. No big deal. No big deal. Having also been in your shoes, you bounced around a lot. You were in a lot of different communities, a lot of different size cities, towns, you know, some rural, some, you know, you were all over the place.
I was actually really lucky. I got to see the best parts of the United States, and I got to see some of even better parts of the United States. It was a really interesting experience for me. I did it for 4 years. It's kind of like, I don't know what to actually compare it to, but just remember, like, just think of a person that's 100% transient. I literally lived out of a suitcase in hotel rooms or Airbnbs or like rental by month condos.
Yeah.
For
and you are the kind of personality though that like made the most of that, and you got to, you like made friends, and you have like all of these people all over the country now that you could probably call at any given time and be like, hey, I'm coming to visit. And you know, that, like, that's not everybody's behavior in the, on the matter, but that was, I know, having like been your friend during that time, like that, you took advantage of that. And that's really awesome. So
right.
You worked with the leasing team, and then from there, you moved into another role within JES Holdings. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I left the leasing position to actually assume a more senior role on that team. So I not only had lease ups that I was responsible for, but I also had a team. I can't say that I had the team. We shared a team together, if you will.
Yeah.
So I started really developing my leadership skills through that. And then after doing that for 2 years, I moved into a compliance position. So as a leaser or a leasing and marketing specialist, I'm not certain what the title is now for that role. So please forgive me, anyone in that role.
It has had a couple of different names and titles. Yeah, for sure. It also has carried with it like different responsibilities, I feel like, throughout the years. So yeah,
it has definitely molded into a very fun role. Whenever we were in it, it was grueling.
My back is broken.
But yeah, absolutely. But it's definitely molded into something pretty incredible. But so during that particular stint, if you will, I worked for the Affordable Equity Partners side, so the syndication team. Then I took on compliance as a role within the company, and I switched over to Fairway Management, which is the management side of real estate management. So that was a fun transition. I did that for a year. And then I transitioned into a regional manager role, as I do love policy. I do love procedure. I do love rules. I love regulations. I love paper. I don't know if I've said that, but I'm just going to underline right. that a few more times. And, but I love people more. So I had to transition out of that role to really find my purpose.
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. And that's where you are now. And you oversee the Southern region of Missouri and you oversee several other different states. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I am in charge of operations for the Southwest region for Fairway Management, which includes the southern part of Missouri, as you said, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Texas.
Awesome. So that being said, you're kind of spread out. So what does a typical week look like for you?
You know, my week is 100% fluid, but I do strategically plan for my week every week. I start on Sundays. I plan, I map out my expectations, and then I push to implement them early Monday morning. I start every morning between 5:30, 6. I get a little workout in, get a little breakfast in me. Get ready for work, and then hit the pavement running. I continue working through my day or my plan, if you will, the best that I can, because having as many employees as I have and being over so many different territories, if you will, my plans can change within every minute. They can change. So I work through that, and then I usually end my day around 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening, and I give myself a good hour of relaxation time, like little Eric time, if you will. And then I move forward to start the day all over again.
Well, you work a lot of hours, it sounds like, so you must love your job or not, question mark? I think you do.
I'm very blessed that I get to have a job that I like.
That is a blessing, because not everybody has that. So I'm really happy to hear you say that. And I'm sure the listeners are happy to hear you say that too, because, you know, when you find something that you love to do, it's so cliche, but it's not work at that point. It's just fun. And it's something that, you know, you can wake up passionate about and you're excited, and that's just awesome. I love that.
It is pretty great.
Are you traveling as much as you have been in the past or not so much?
I am not traveling nearly as much. I don't think the world's traveling nearly as much.
Right.
I'm not traveling as much right now, but I do find myself still going to sites regularly, at least one site a week.
Right.
And do my best to, I'm so sorry, my dog sees a squirrel right now and she is about to go psycho.
So Eric has a dog named Helen, which is the best name for a dog ever.
Yes.
Eric also, just for those of you out there in the world that know this story, Eric was also with me the night that my dog, Loki, Reynaldo, and I shared a dog named Loki. It's actually technically his dog, I guess, but
for sure,
you know, he's been in my life for a long time. And so, Loki went missing into the night, and Eric was part of that story because he helped me find him. We didn't find him, but we did find him, but not in that time.
Yeah. I had to exit stage left to, what I can only describe as a Carrie situation.
By Carrie, he means the horror movie.
100% situation that was happening on the couch because we couldn't find Loki. So I had to.
Yeah, no, it was probably good that you did. Like, he saw me running around the streets of downtown St. Louis with like one shoe on, waking up people laying on benches being like, have you seen this dog? Like, being a total blubbering psycho. And finally Eric looked at me, I think it was like 7:30 in the morning, and you were like, I'm gonna go. And you were very helpful, and I really do appreciate you staying with me throughout that experience.
Just note though, everyone, we started looking for Loki at 1 o'clock that morning.
Yeah, it wasn't like he just bailed in 30 minutes.
No, it definitely not. But I think it was best for all parties involved that I exited stage left.
Yes, Yes. No, that was probably good. So, okay. We kind of got off topic there. We were talking about your day
Loki
today.
So funny.
What's that?
The Loki story is so funny.
The Loki story is funny. And you got to give the people what they want. And honestly, the other day, like, it was National Dogs Day. And I shared a picture of Loki and I was like, and it also in that moment happened to be the anniversary of that night that he ran away. And the people were like, tell the story. So here we are telling the story. Eric and I went out once upon a time with Ellen, who's another one of our great friends, and my cousin. And so we went out and we came back to, I was dog sitting for Loki at that time. Reynaldo and I did not live together. And so I was like, I'm just going to walk him one more time, brought him out. It was like midnight. And he escaped. He Houdini'd out of his harness that he was in and he took off into the night. Eric was staying at the hotel next door and he was checking in. And all of a sudden I called him and I was like, get outside, Loki's missing. And so we're running around trying to grab Loki. And you, I think, were the last one to actually see Loki.
I was a little turd. He just took the leap of faith right off of this concrete embankment onto a parking garage, and he just jumped. And I was like, oh no, I was certain that we were not going to see Loki alive again at that point. But no, that turd, he just took off running after he landed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no way that we're going to catch him.
You were so funny because of course I'm hysterical and you're like trying to remain calm and be the voice of reason. And you like turn around and you're like, Kelly, he just leapt off this concrete, whatever it was, this wall, and took off into the night. And you're like, it's going to be okay. And then Reynaldo said that you called him and left him a message and you were like, hey, bud, really wish you were here. Like, no one will ever know. And then there was like all of these hysterical messages from me. And then there's this one from you that's like, hey, bud, we really miss you. Really wish you were here right now. / your dog is missing in the night. No, said no one ever named Eric Stout, just me. Oh, what a mess. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And we have gotten totally off topic, but also that is a hilarious story. So,
I mean,
so let's really go back funny. To you. Enough about Loki, the Houdini.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to stop like with my cheeks, because just so everyone knows, that is a very abbreviated version.
It was like a long time that we looked for him, but like he's fine, and everybody knows Loki is in great health and living his best life in North Carolina, and there's nothing to be concerned about. We found the dog and lived happily ever after, so
yeah,
we're all good.
This was definitely a happy ending story.
This is definitely a happy ending story. It was touch and go for a minute there, but alas, we are on the up and up. So let's go back to you. You are visiting sites probably at least once a week at this point. So you're managing remotely, essentially, and you have a team of what, about 70 people? Is that right?
Yeah.
Give or take. Right. So what are you doing to stay connected with your team? Are you guys spending a lot of time on Zoom? Do you have a lot of calls? How does that work for you?
Yeah. So I try to at least connect with each of my managers one-on-one as much as humanly possible. But there are a lot of my managers that work very well independently that require very little oversight. But I do still host a weekly meeting with all of my team to redefine those core company expectations, make sure that we are remaining on point with what our goals and what our targets are for each month. So every week I have a Zoom call with my team, and I have Zoom calls with many of support teams throughout the week as well. And I try and I try and still be that outlet for my team whenever they need anything.
Sure. So how are you keeping them motivated during this time? Because it is challenging, I believe, to motivate from a distance and keep people kind of incentivized to go to work and be like positive Polly and life is great. How are you doing that?
Yeah, motivating remotely is something that's kind of ingrained in me, as I do have, I have been managing teams in numerous different states, some of them very far away, for 5 years now. So with that being said, I employ a lot of the same tactics that I used back then. But really, the fundamental building blocks of any team, in my opinion, can be found in a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni.
Stop everything you're doing and go get that book if you don't have it already. Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. Continue.
Absolutely. It's a great book. And at the bottom of any sort of foundation or at the bottom of any sort of, sorry, at the bottom of any sort of team is a foundation. And that foundation really should be built on trust. If I were to say the number one motivational tool that I think that I use for my team that works remotely is that I've never broken that trust. It's paramount, it's essential. I highly recommend developing a strong line of trust with your team in order to really start pushing forward. Now, in addition to that, during COVID-19, I will say that I have employed a couple of other tactics. One of them happens to be me dyeing my hair lime green for hitting certain target markets.
You know what? A little bribery never hurt nobody.
100%. And I will say that it was serving a dual purpose. Whenever we had to grow out our hair so long because no barbershop was open,
right?
I had a lot more gray than I ever imagined.
You found that the night that we lost Loki ignited something in your hair growth that became gray.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. You caused me to have to go.
I did it. Nope. Loki did it.
Noted.
Loki did it. So okay, you've got lime green hair on the table. Have you dyed your hair yet?
No.
I was gonna say I don't think I've seen it, but then again, I haven't seen you in a couple months.
No. So I will say that it's been somewhat difficult to align my schedule to get that done. But my team knows it's going to happen. I have a date already in the books. So right.
So they hit the goal, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So the goal was in our industry, kind of like the magical sweet spot for a region is to be at the 98% occupied marker, with less than 2% delinquent. So I actually have a teammate who hits an extraordinary marker, at kind of an unprecedented one, to be honest with you, where she has remained consistently over 99% physically occupied for numerous months. And I needed to get my team to kind of push that envelope a little bit harder, where 98%, albeit fantastic, wasn't good enough anymore. We had
okay.
To
so let's call a spade a spade. Eric's a little bit competitive, folks.
I am beyond competitive whenever it comes to work.
So he used to like swim competitively. Yeah. And now he obviously manages competitively, and he saw that somebody was beating him, and he said,
"It's not going to happen anymore. No, it's not going to happen anymore." Although I do have to say, she's still beating me because, I mean, she hasn't dropped below 99%, and that is a really tough marker to hit.
But that's really big of you to like announce that out loud.
I mean, she's the best. I mean, she deserves it. I'm very proud of her.
Good. So, yeah, that's awesome.
I told them that if they hit 98.5, I would get it done, and they did. I mean, it was a really tremendous breakthrough for them, and they've responded really well to it. Now, once I get my green hair, I think that we're going to respond even better to that, but I'm scared to do it myself. My dear Lord, I'm going to make that like permanent, and I might end up with purple hair. I have no idea.
Yeah, we don't know. I think that is probably something that you want to hire out. But, you know, listeners out there, if you want to see a picture of Eric with lime green hair, please make sure that you send me a message, because I, as a responsibility to you, the listeners, I will make sure if you want to see that, that you get to see that picture, because that's going to be really something special.
Oh, gosh.
He's like, oh gosh, I'm not sure this is a good choice. No, it's going to be great. That's such a cool thing that you did. I'm sure that your managers and maintenance professionals are like, really think that that's cool and fun.
I really just hope.
Hey, all you can have is hope. So at this point in your career, you obviously talked about 5 dysfunctions of a team, Patrick Lencioni.
Yeah.
Are there other resources like books or podcasts or mentors, motivators that you utilize to continue your education and continue building and staying, you know, active and getting to the top of your game?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I love learning, and I will always continue imploring myself to learn more each day. I mean, it's a responsibility to all of us and ourselves to learn, to teach ourselves something new, or open our mind to allow something new to come in. So yeah, I'm constantly finding a new book on either Audibles, or I actually have I am a person that loves to feel a book.
Yeah, so, like have a book in your hands, mm-hmm. for sure.
So I still frequent bookstores.
Yes.
I know a lot of people don't do anymore, but I still do. And yeah, on top of that, I attend many educational training classes as humanly possible. And I have wonderful mentors that I look up to, I seek advice from, and I use them to push me into a different thought process. And I think it's important, because whenever you are managing so many people, every situation can be handled differently and should be handled differently to feed the need of the individual that you're servicing at that particular time. So it's really important to get a whole bunch of different perspectives and to expand your social networking or circle of influence, if you will, to include individuals that can provide as many different perspectives as humanly possible to service your team. And always allow for that circle of influence to change. It doesn't have to be a set in stone roadmap. It definitely needs to be something that's fluid to serve the purpose that you're currently looking for. People are there, friends are there for a reason at certain times of your life. And a mentor's the same adage applies.
I think it's really interesting. You know, we have a lot of different guests that come on this program, and, you know, they come from all different walks of life, and they come from all different industry and, you know, professional paths and that sort of thing. But no matter what you are doing in your life, like no matter what your mission is or your career or whatever, I think it's really important that people keep in mind what you just said, having a wide range of influence and a large circle of influence so that you can pull from all of those different concepts and thought processes and what have you to formulate an answer to your client or whatever
depending upon their needs at the time. Or if you're a choreographer, or if you're a performer, you're a dancer, or whatever, having a lot of different teachers so that you kind of develop your own style and methodology of how you're going to go about things. So I really love what you just said there with pulling from so many different resources to kind of, you know, develop you and who you are and how you want to respond to certain instances. I think that's really smart.
100%.
You're such a smart guy, Eric. I'm really glad to have you as a friend.
I'm glad to have you as a friend.
Yay. Can you tell us, so you mentioned, you know, you are working with a lot of external clients on the day-to-day, which for you is residents or prospective residents, and you are working in an industry that sometimes, depending upon what's happening, and I'm sure, you know, there are other industries out there as well, depending upon the circumstance, can become highly emotional because you are dealing with people's homes. So a home for people is a very emotional, connected place. You know, that's where they feel the safest, that hopefully feel the safest. That's where they hang one of their many hats at the end of the day. That's kind of where they go, and it's their zen place. Hopefully that's the goal. How do you yourself work with them if there is conflict or if you have to deal with a highly emotional situation? What do you do?
That's a great question. A question that has numerous answers. Depending on the situation that you find yourself in, I always recommend anyone that goes into a highly conflictual, emotional conversation to listen. To kind of remove yourself from the conversation as much as humanly possible and refrain from judging. If I were to give anyone advice, that would be my top advice. And then from that conversation, just know that everyone is entitled to their own experience. So if they come to you with a problem that includes one of your team members, yourself as the perpetrator, my recommendation would be highly to just attempt to de-escalate the conversation, but just remember as well in the conversation that you don't owe anyone an immediate response. You are allowed to walk away from a conversation without the answer right then and right there. Just kindly excuse yourself in the conversation. If you say the wrong thing at a highly emotional state, the situation is going to expound exponentially. But if you de-escalate the conversation or attempt to de-escalate the conversation and then end the conversation because you cannot find that solution that everyone is looking for, because again, the solutions can be somewhat very difficult in the housing world. Just kindly ask to talk to them the following day once you've done your research. You have that right to do your research. And even in these emotionally heavy situations, I highly implore everyone to do their research before they respond, or you're going to find yourself in a very sticky situation where no one in the end is going to be happy.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really, you know, a great recommendation for anyone that's in a highly emotional situation, even if it's not housing or whatever. Just if you have something that is like highly driven emotionally, just like be able to pause and say, you know, I think let's take a few minutes and like you said, collect your thoughts, collect research if there's, you know, multiple parties involved so that you are giving a well-educated answer and one that could potentially not be as heightened emotionally, I guess is kind of what I'm looking for. Because sometimes, you know, like time heals. So even just like a little bit of a pause is good.
It is very important.
Yes.
To utilize time as part of a response.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. So lastly, you have talked about, you know, the different roles that you have played within the company that you've worked for now 10 years. So you've worn many hats within this organization. During COVID-19, during quarantine, I feel like a lot of people have had the opportunity to kind of reflect and see if, you know, maybe what they're doing professionally or personally isn't serving them anymore. Think about maybe what they'd want to do, or maybe they want to transition in their current company or whatever the case may be. What kind of suggestions or advice would you give people who are maybe seeking out something different for themselves?
I say go for it. Mm-hmm. Take a leap. As long as the intended purpose behind taking the leap is something positive, where there is positive gain. It's very important for individuals that want to make a change within their current organization to come prepared, and don't be afraid to ask the question. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, the worst answer that you're going to get is a no.
Right.
And if you come well prepared and you have everything in front of you, a padfolio, if you will, of just amazing work that you've accomplished, then it would be hard pressed for anyone to understand why they would say no.
Right.
But that's the perfect opportunity to ask that question. I always recommend to my team and to other colleagues of mine who I also would like to think I mentor or try to mentor, to always try and do this around your employee evaluation time, as it gives everyone, as it allows for everyone the opportunity to kind of see that conversation coming.
Sure.
So that everyone isn't caught off guard. But on the flip side, I mean, if it's really irking you and you really want to scratch an itch to move, or internally in the company or externally, I say have the conversation. Mm-hmm. I would say a good 8 times out of 10, or 4 out of 5 times, however you want to do the math, I want to keep the individual that would rather exit the company because they don't necessarily see an internal growth path. So have the conversation. Allow for your company to work with you. Give them time to respond as well, because a lot of times when you are asking or trying to push forward in your career internally, there isn't a growth pattern established. So in order to ensure that your happiness equates to or is parallel with the company's happiness, you have to give them a reasonable amount of time to make those changes. That's if you want to move internally. If you want to move externally, I mean, I say take a leap. If it is for the right intended purpose, take a leap. I would never discourage one of my team members if they came to me and told me that they wanted to do the next big thing. I would never discourage that. But if they came to me and told me they wanted to do the next little thing without the right intended purpose behind it, I'm going to be somewhat disappointed, because I've put a lot of time, energy, and effort to motivate, train, implore leadership skills within that individual that I don't want to see them ever take a step back. So I hope that our culture in the corporate world is making the same adjustment as I just outlined. Because it's important to allow people to move on and to gain the experience through taking some zigzag trails, and never hold a grudge against someone for wanting to try and better themselves.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
It's been so fun having you here today. And since we're on Zoom, it's been really nice to see your face, although I am looking forward to whenever that hair is green.
I know, right?
It is going to be epic. Well, thank you again so much for being here. I really, really appreciate your time. And I miss you.
I miss you too.
And I didn't even make fun of your dancing one time. Oh, wait, I think I just did.
Just note, it's as bad as she says it is.
Well, if you want to see Eric's dance moves, you can find him on the YouTube, I'm sure. He's got some signature ones like the squid and the jellyfish. And yeah, maybe whenever he has green hair, we'll get a video and he'll look like an actual jellyfish. Is a jellyfish green? I don't even know. No, they're clear.
I think they can be whatever color you want them to be.
Hey, you know what? I need to do a little bit of research on that. Anyway, thank you again so much for being here today. I love you so much, everybody. Next week, we will be back. Same time, same place. Until then, have an awesome rest of your day.